Hey, this is December 10th, and we come from love.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. For the new people that haven't heard that before, what we are trying to do, what I am trying to instill in you, so that your mind will throw that up to you at your command, and even when you don't command it, that it is always at the forefront of your mind is the idea that you truly are gods and goddesses, that you are gods in the making, and that all stems from the idea in the Bible. Know that ye are gods. It's very important to realize that because you are here on this plane of action to prove that to yourself. When you decided to carnate on this plane of action, you decided to carnate here because you wanted to learn more about yourself. And what you wanted to learn about yourself was the idea that you are a creator, that you are one with this thing called God, and that you have the exact same abilities, and that you have the exact same qualities as what you came from. We call it God, you can call it love, or you can call it Harry. I don't care what you call it. But the idea is to know that you've come from this thing that makes up the whole universe, that you are part of the universe. And we also realize now, with science and all, that it is a holographic universe that we live in, which means any one piece taken out contains the whole. So you are the whole enchilada. So you have to remember that you are God, or you're some part of God, and that you have these qualities. And with that, learning that you are creative, that you have these qualities of God, you learn that you are not your mind, that you can control your thinking, and that you can learn to think the thought that you want to think, and learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel, so that you can now learn to respond to life instead of reacting to life the way most of the people on this plane of action do. And that is up to us, and that is the freedom that you have. Once you realize that you're not bobbing along like a cork in the ocean, you have stability, and the stability that you have is to know that you are connected to your source, to the source that you came from. You have never been separated from that. This teaching teaches unity. The world teaches separation. Most religions teach separation. They tell you that you are no good, that you are unworthy. We do not do that here. We always hold you in high esteem. We always see you as totally loving human beings. And you must learn to see yourself that way. We learn to separate the sin from the sinner. We may not like sometimes what we do. We may not like our behavior. But we never dislike ourselves. You cannot do that. The highest form of worship you can give this thing that we call God is to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love anybody else. If you do not love anybody else and you do not love yourself, you cannot love God. I tell the story, you know, when I was a Boy Scout, it was always God first, others second, and self third. And that is what the world teaches. And that is certainly what most religions teach. Always put somebody else ahead of you. I'm here to tell you to put yourself first. Not in a selfish way. But if you cannot take care of yourself, you cannot take care of anybody else. That is the whole idea behind the statement that the man Jesus, one of the master teachers, said, that is like the blind leading the blind. If you cannot do it for yourself, you cannot help somebody else. And when we start to do that, we find if we're helping other people and we're not helping ourselves and we're giving too much of our time and too much of our money and attention to other people, we start to resent it. And then resentment comes in and then bitterness comes in and the whole thing falls apart. So you start with yourself and love yourself. Charity begins at home. It begins with you, inside of your mind. So we always want to know that, all right? Now, with that, Andy, will you say to the lady beside you, I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflection.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflection.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflection.
I live in a reflected universe and I'm creating the reflections. Reflections.
I live in a reflected universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflected universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflected universe and I am creating a reflection.
I live in a reflected universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflected universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflected universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflections.
I live in a reflected universe and I am creating reflections.
I live in a reflective universe and I am creating a reflection.
You go there.
Mm-hmm. You give it back to me.
I live in a reflective universe and I'm creating a reflection.
And I live in a reflective universe and I am creating the reflection. That is so, so important to understand, to realize that it's a mirror you're looking into. When you're looking at reality, you're looking at a mirror that you have made. The reflection that you see is the reflection that's in your mind, in your thoughts, in your feelings. And there's Thomas. Rose was asking about you earlier.
Awesome.
So, realize that it's a mirror you look into. Now, I tell this story, and I'll tell it once again. How do we know that this is true? That this is a... When we talk about anything here, it's always the immutable laws of the universe. What I say here is throughout the universe, these laws stay absolutely the same. They do not change, and they're immutable. They are always going to be this way. So, this idea of a reflection, when you're thinking... When you want something, you want money, you want to be able to pay the rent and so forth, you have to put that into mind. You have to get a feeling that that is already done. That sets out a vibration. That vibration travels out through the universe, collects everything that is needed to make that come true, and brings it back to you. But most of us all are always thinking of what we don't have instead of what we do have, thinking of what we don't want instead of what we want. So start this year. Start right here and right now to always think of what you want, not what is in front of you and not what you don't want. I want my partner to be different. I want this, that, and the other thing. No. Think of this is the qualities I want in my partner and think of those qualities and your partner will assume those qualities. So, how do we prove that? Since it's always the same throughout the universe on any planet, any universe that you happen to be in, it's always going to be reflecting back to you. On this plane of action, here on the earth, we have a mechanism, a little gift from this thing called called God, to make us understand that this is true. And that little thing that we have is called the echo. Do you remember the echo? If you yell, I am successful, I am wealthy, the echo does not yell back to you, no, you're not. It always answers you. It reflects back to you what you're saying. It reflects back to you what you're feeling. It's a reflective universe. So use that echo as a little mechanism so that you understand what this is. You see, if you scream out, it has to come back to you exactly what you're doing. So what people are trying to do is trying to change. They want God to give them something that they don't have. Well, God's going to give you something that you don't have. It has to reflect back to you. So you always have to start from the premise, I already have it. It's already done. You see. So... How does that work? At the beginning of the month, you have to know that you have the money to pay next month's rent. you see. But you people thought, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen. If we live in a reflective universe, we live in the supportive universe, and we live in a universe where we're connected to our source, the source has to answer you. It has to give you what you want. So you have to learn to change your mind. You have to see that. So, anyway, that's just a little side thing there. But that's what this teaching is all about. The teaching is that we live in a reflective universe, and what you think about, you bring about. It's a very simple, very easy type thing. We make it very difficult, and we think it's very complicated because we start to see the world and we start to listen to all the crap that's going on in the world instead of listening to our own minds and making our mind think the thought that we want to think. Now, I said last week that this is a wonderful time of year because of the holiday season, because in the Christian church it's called the Advent season. I also explained to you that I am not a Christian, although I have nothing against Christianity itself. It's Christians that I don't particularly like. We have to learn to live with everyone, and we have to see the God inside of everyone. So that is my job, is to see this thing called God. But the reason why I like this time of the year, this Advent season, this holiday season so much, is because you have to remember that this is a time of year when energy comes in on this plane of action, a new energy is set up because people are starting to feel good. And they're starting to feel good about themselves. And the whole idea is peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But in my imagination, I use the expression, angels are bending near the earth. And that's what happens at this time of year. Angels bend near the earth. You can envision an angel any way you want to. You can see it as an energy. So know during this time of year, there's an energy out there that you can connect with, that you can do something with, and that can bring good to you. Andy earlier said he was thinking about a house and this, that, and the other thing that he wanted, and suddenly said, should I be thinking about anything else? And his mind said to him, think about being happy. You see, the life of the organism is feelings. And you have to have a feeling going on. If you can maintain a happy feeling, if you can maintain a good feeling, that is the basis from which every vibration you have goes out and does something. That is the vibration that's inside of your body that tells the cells of your body when they are dividing. Are they going to be into love, or are they going to be into fear? Are they going to be into wellness, or are they going to be into stiffness? Because the cells of your body are always going to be born in to the atmosphere, the thought atmosphere that you're thinking. And if you're getting up every day and thinking it's a horrible world and this, that, the other thing, every little cell in your body that's being born at that time is going to take up that attitude. So you are responsible for that. Now, I always look at the body in a completely different way than other people. Am I talking too fast tonight? I had coffee. You have to look at your body this way. This is the way I look at my body. And I said this once before. You have at least 7 trillion cells in your body. Each of those cells is a little universe. Each of those little universes is a God. So that means that you have 70 trillion gods inside of you. If you cannot do something with that, there's something wrong. So when you want something, think of that. I have 70 trillion things working for me. 70 trillion. I don't even know that much goes out a long way. So that's what we want to do. Okay, so the other thing that we want to know or learn is there are only ever 2 emotions, and I believe they do this in Course in Miracles. The only 2 things that you're ever doing is you're either having fear or you're having love. So which one do you want to come from? That's a choice. So when you feel fear coming, sit yourself down and talk yourself out of that. We have to talk ourselves out of these things. Remember, we have the little rubber band technique. If you get into fear, snap this and say, get a hold on yourself here. Let's get back to love here. And let's come from love. That's why the title of these talks during December, I came from love. You came from love. You did not come from fear. How many times have you ever heard, if God is for you, who and what can be against you? And if you know that there's only God, there's nothing else out there. You never hear me say there's the devil. You never hear me say anything like that. But there's no such thing. That's absolutely man-made. That's all man-made. So think of those things. The other thing during this season to think about is this thing we could talk about beliefs, and it's always done unto you as you believe. And we have in our mind that this belief, that we get a belief, and oh, isn't that wonderful? I have this belief that I'll always be wealthy. I have this belief that this will happen or that will happen. And we think that they're concrete. We think that a belief is concrete. A belief is not concrete. A belief is merely a thought that you keep thinking. A belief is merely a thought that you keep thinking. You can change your belief any time you want to. Start thinking differently. But we get that, and we let this little mind of ours, this finite mind, this ego part of our mind, say, oh, isn't that wonderful? I have these beliefs. Oh, boy. I'm filled with beliefs. They're the wrong beliefs, usually. And they're not getting you anywhere. So sit down and think. Ah, I can change this. No big deal. You see, we always want to make things concrete. We always want to make things difficult. It's simple. A thought is just a belief that you keep thinking. Change that thought and the belief will go away. The belief will go away. So many people think, I'll never make it. I've never made it. I'll never make it. I'll never make it. Don't do that to yourself. Always see yourself as successful. You have to see yourself as successful, but we put on that, oh, if I'm successful, then I have to have tons of money. I didn't say that, did I? I said, think of yourself as being successful. If you think of yourself as being successful, you'll get tons of money. Mm-hmm. Remember? These are byproducts. These are byproducts. Andy wants a house. And he was concentrating on getting a house. And all of a sudden he asked, should I be thinking of something else? And the universe said, yes. Let's start thinking about being happy. Let's start getting a good feeling. And it comes from there. Because the language of the universe is feelings. You see, that the life of the organism is feelings, but the language of the universe is feelings. How am I feeling? Am I feeling good about myself? Am I feeling good about myself? You have to feel good about yourself. What do you have to know, people? You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
Too much. My back.
That's okay. You can do it sitting down.
I know, I'm going to do it. Yeah, my back. I broke my back.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay.
So you have to realize that you matter. Now, during this Advent season, we talk about, of course, the Advent season, reflects Christianity. And one of the main characters in Christianity is this thing called Jesus, or this name called Jesus. And we call him Jesus Christ, not because Christ was his last name, but because he was Christed, which means he had a Christ consciousness. A Christ consciousness that we all can obtain. It takes effort, it takes some time, it takes a little work, and it takes diligence. In watching, you must learn to become a witness to your own thinking. And when your thinking is stinking, you must learn to change it. Instead of being attached to it and say, well, I'm thinking that, so it must belong to me. It does not belong to you. It's just a thought going through your head. Don't attach to it. Learn to become a witness to your own thinking. And when you're thinking something you don't like, use the rubber band if you wish and just pull yourself. Snap that rubber band. I said, ooh, sorry, I slipped there for a moment. Now I'm back to the reality. I'm back to the love from whence I came. I'm back to knowing that I live in a supportive universe. I'm back to knowing that I'm always moving from my good to my greater good. I'm moving from glory to greater glory. This thing called God never moves backward. God is expanding, the universe is expanding, and you're part of that, so therefore you must be expanding also. So we want that to happen. We want your mind, your consciousness, to constantly expand and expand and expand. Now, back to this man called Jesus, who I do consider one of the master teachers, along with I consider Buddha a master teacher. Jesus said, passed out when you didn't say. But he taught that every man had the power to bless and to multiply, to heal and to prosper. Jesus brought a new covenant into the world, a covenant of love, that his whole teaching, his whole ministry was based on the fact that you have the power to bless and to multiply, to heal and to prosper. And that's what you have to realize. That's why I'm trying to bring everyone, and myself included, I'm not there, bring ourselves to realize that we are gods in the making, that ye are gods. And when you realize that, then you can say, I can heal, I can bless, I can multiply, I can prosper something. And Jesus was able to do that, and he wanted everyone else to do it, until a group of other people got a hold of his teachings and said he could do it, but you can't, because he was special. And God liked him better than he liked you, and he was God's only begotten son. Now, I'm here to tell you that we're all begotten sons, and we're all begotten daughters of the same thing, the same source. We all have the same qualities as Jesus, and we can do the same as Jesus. Remember what Jesus also said, which is always left out of everything: you can do this and greater things. So learn that you can do this and greater things. Become part of this whole thing. Say to yourself every morning, I am some part of the universe, I am some part of God, and therefore I can achieve anything that I put my mind to. And I open myself to that, and I become receptive to that. You do not have to be down on your hands and knees begging and praying and asking for change and saying that you are worthy. If you say to God and ask to be worthy, God does not understand that, because you're already worthy in the eyes of God. You're already whole and complete and perfect. You're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. God knows these things. You must know these things. You must know these things. And if you're waiting for God to tell you that, give that idea up. God, the gift has already been given. It's already, these qualities are intrinsic within you. You came here on this plane of action with these already inside of you. It is your job to find them and to pull them out and to use them, and to stop allowing the world or your mind to convince you differently. You are not bad human beings. You are magnificent human beings with great power. And you have to know that. You have to know that. And you can do that. So make this year, we're coming up to a new year, make up your mind that this year, this is the way I'm going to think. I'm going to think differently. I'm not going to have the same year I had last year. This year I am going to prosper. And it has nothing to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with what you're thinking about yourself. You see, every bank in the world can fail and you can still be prosperous. You can lose every bit of money you have, every stock you have, and you can still be prosperous. It will find its way to you. You do not have to know how that's done. You just have to know that it can be done. So, get rid of all those excuses. Get rid of the excuses that you have put. Oh, it can't be done because of the economy. It can't be done because of my parents. It can't be done because of where I'm living. It can't be done because of whatever you're doing to yourself all the time. Give yourselves a break. Every day, sit down and love yourself for something. Sit down and love yourself. Nurture yourself. And things will come into your life. You see? But things are repelled when you don't like yourself. When you don't have a good feeling, you're repelling things, not attracting things. I mean, you want to be around somebody? You don't want to be around somebody that is mean, hateful, spiteful, not feeling well all the time. You avoid them. But don't you think that this energy in the universe, and this is law of attraction, doesn't want to be around you? Doesn't want to be around you. You're the one who has to be. You have to make your vessel clear so that you can receive. What do I mean by your vessel? That means your thinking. You have to make a place there. You have to make a place there. Next week you'll learn about a way in the manger. way in the manger. That's in the back of your head. You see? You have to know that back here, everything. And then bring that forward in your thinking. Bring that forward. These are not myths that we're talking about. These are not wonderful stories to make you feel well. These are principles to live by. These are principles to live by. We're not taught these unless we happen to grow up in a wonderful metaphysical family. I didn't grow up in a metaphysical family, and I don't think many people grew up in a metaphysical family. So we were taught a lot of flawed premises, a lot of flawed things. And we were taught a great deal of lies, too. Now you have to sort through those and get rid of them. They're not serving you any longer. Mm-hmm. So you make this vessel, you make your thinking clear, so that this power, and now here again, I'm using my imagination, people. I have no idea where this power is. I'm just doing it. Because for centuries people have looked up, you know, I've lifted up my eyes onto the hills from whence cometh my strength. We always think that this power, this thing called God, is living above us somewhere. We have no idea what up and down is. Only on this plane of action, you know, when they when the astronauts go out into space, there's no up and down. There's no up and down in the universe. It's only here we see up and down. Yourself. So what we have to know is this thing called God, this thing we're connected to, is not only all around us, it's all through us. There's no way you can escape that. There's no way that you can escape that. You see? So there's no separation. The only thing that ever separates you is your thought, I'm not good enough. I've done something awful. Oh, forget it. You didn't do anything all that awful. You have to forgive yourself. The mind just loves to punish. Because we live in a world that's always punishing. Remember, you can't get away with anything in the world because you have to be punished for your actions. You have to be punished. God doesn't punish. The universe does not punish. All that this universe does and this thing called God does is love. It pours love, 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 love down on you. So learn to accept that. Learn to see that love and do that, okay? All right, now, I was cleaning at home, and I found all these cards. Of course, it's just nothing unusual, because everything you open in my house is 3x5 cards. But it was a stack of them all together in a very strange place, and I don't know why. But they all pertain to what we're doing, so I brought them. This You are not here to discover that which is perfect. You are here to create or to attract that which is perfect. You are the one who has to create perfection. You're not here to discover that which is perfect. You are here to create or to attract that which is perfect. I knew Robert Bitzer. Robert Bitzer had the Hollywood Church of Religious Science. I think Robert Bitzer was either 98 or 700 years old when he died. I can't remember. But he was quite old. And he would say this: I do not make the best of things. I make things the best. Can you see the difference in that? You see, in this teaching, we don't tolerate. The world tolerates. This teaching accepts. It accepts everything, because everything is God. It accepts. You see, and the world tells you, you have to make the best of things. We don't teach you that you have to make the best of things. We teach you, you have to make things the best. You have to take any situation that you can. Any situation that you're in, you have to see the God in that. And you have to concentrate on the good. You have to, good and God are the same. You have to concentrate on that good. When you concentrate on that good, it multiplies. And it completely covers up everything else. Completely covers up everything else. Well, I was a very young man, 18 in fact. I lived with an Italian family. Their name were the Gucci's. And Mrs. Gooch used to say to me, Dallas, there is always enough good in everyone to cover up the bad. And that's what you must concentrate on. Always the good. But we have a tendency to look at the other side always. And then it multiplies. So, if you want to bring something into your life, concentrate on what you want, not what you don't want in life. See? Subtle little change there. Because the world keeps telling you, if you don't want something, concentrate on what you don't want long enough and it'll go away. It will not go away. We don't want war, but we have war all the time. Why? Because we concentrate on it. Because we concentrate on it. We don't concentrate on peace. Nope. We don't do it. We say, oh, war. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, none of war. You see? You always get what you concentrate on. We want health in this country. We want to get rid of cancer. We're never going to get rid of cancer. Why? Because we concentrate on it all the time. We have cancer drives. We have cancer drives. We concentrate on what we don't want. Concentrate on what you do want. March for good health. March for peace, not for war. You see? This is a way that you change the world itself by concentrating on what you want. But we're trained to look at the flaws. We're trained to look at all the bad stuff. Train yourself to look for the good. And the more good you see, the more good you're going to get. And I don't know how much clearer I can make it. It's done with feelings. And it starts with your feeling. It's always going to be feeling and thought, feeling and thought. But feeling is going to be, I'm going to say, more important. What type of a feeling are you starting with? You see, you can do treatment, which is prayer, or you can do affirmations. But if while you're doing an affirmation, you're feeling lousy and you hate your neighbor and you do this, that, and the other thing, do you think that affirmation is going to work? I don't think so. Because you haven't started from that premise. You have to start with a good feeling. And you have to start with loving yourself. And then it goes out and does something. It goes out and does something. Oh, I remember this one. The first principle suggests that because everything exists within the divine matrix, everything is connected. What does that mean? The divine matrix is a title made up by a man by the name of Greg Braden. And Greg Braden was an aerospace scientist, and he's turned metaphysical and very spiritual. He travels around the world. He is a wonderful speaker, and he writes wonderful books if you're interested. So the first principle suggests that because everything exists within the divine matrix, everything is connected. And this is what you hear me say. We live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. The mind of God is the divine matrix. Now, all there is God, and we're living, moving, and having our being in that mind. We must be attached somehow. We must be connected. And this is the feeling that I would want myself and everyone else to have, that you know that you're connected to this thing called God, that there's no such thing as separation. You see, there's not Dallas and God. There's Dallas as God. There's the world as God. There's a universe as God. It's not God and the universe. There cannot be an and anywhere when you place God there, because God encompasses everything. So if God encompasses everything and everything is God, you have to be some part of God. You have to be. There's no other way that that can work. Okay. The second principle suggests that the divine matrix is a holograph, meaning that any portion of the field contains every other thing in the field. So, it's a holographic universe. We are holographic, meaning that we are part of God. You see, God is not in you. Like a raisin in a cookie. You are in God, like a wave in the ocean. If you remember that, we're whole. We make up the ocean. We make up God. That's why we can use that wonderful expression. God would be incomplete without you. See? God needs you. The same way every little drop of rain, every little drop of water makes up the ocean. Every drop of water that falls, every river that flows, every stream, every bit of water on this planet heads towards the ocean. Heads towards its source. Where do you think that rain comes from? It comes from the ocean. It goes up, vaporizes, comes around, rains, and goes back to source. And that's what we're doing. Can you think of that right now? Can you think right now that you're rain and eventually you're going to get into a river and eventually that river's going to go right back to the ocean, right back to source? Where do you think you're going to go when you lose these physical bodies? You're going to go right back to source. There's nowhere else to go. And then guess what? Many people think, well, we'll start the process over. We'll start the cycle over again. Why not? Why not? That's a choice you can make. We must give the stuff that reality is made of something to work with in order to perform a miracle. What could be more empowering than the ability to change the world and our lives simply by altering what we believe in our hearts and minds? What does this mean? We must give the stuff that that reality is made of something to work with. We must always give it something to work with. This thing called God, this thing called the universe, and that thing that we give is an idea, is a thought. We build a framework. We build a template. Call it a cookie cutter if you want. Think of your idea as a cookie cutter, and this thing called God and the universe is dough. Ah, I want money. Ah, I have to make a template for that money. What is a template for money? How do you feel when you're going to have money? How will what make you feel? That makes a cookie cutter. You stamp that cookie cutter into that dough. That has to come to you. Has to come to you. If you build the mold, if you build the template, you will get what you want. But concentrate on already starting, I have it now. You see, everything is already done in mind. This is a very tricky little thing. In metaphysics, it's always done. Always done. You see, you're not waiting for anything. It's already done. You just can't see it. Why can't you see it? Because you have not made the cookie cutter in your thinking. You haven't made it. So you have to start thinking, how will it be? How will it be? How I see myself. I see myself. I see myself. How is it feeling? How is it feeling? How is it feeling? Those two work together and you get what you want. Thought and feeling. Thought and feeling. So think of that. Remember, I used to call God Play-Doh. You know. And I used to do the Play-Doh factory. Remember, you put all that Play-Doh in there and you stamp it out into ink. Doesn't it take on any form you want? You must realize that that's the nice thing about God. I always say this, not always, but I love this one. Let me see if I can remember. God is the only thing that I know that loves you so much that it will become anything you want. Mm. Can't find a partner to do that, can you? God is the only thing that I know that will become anything that I want. You see? And you have to know that. God will become for you what you want. See? Isn't that wonderful? I love it. Oh, this is the one always about imagination. And I'm a great one for using your imagination. Because I believe that the imagination is the greatest tool that you have ever been given. And when in the Bible, when it says the gift has been given, this is the gift that they meant. And it puts there, the gift has already been given. You see, people are always looking for God to give you more and more and more. God's already given you everything. Now use what you have. And the greatest thing that God has given you is your imagination. So use your imagination. This is directly from the Bible. Keep thy heart with all thy diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4:23. But now we're going to change that and make it metaphysical. Keep thy imagination with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your imagination comes the issues of life, comes what you want by using your imagination. Reflective universe, you said that earlier. We live in a reflective universe. So get an idea and then use that idea. We hold the most powerful force in the cosmos from the instant of our birth. And that is the direct access to the universe. Soon as you were born, you came complete with all this. Little kids know this. Little kids know their imagination. Little kids know everything. Do you know the little story about the little kid? He was about this high, I think. And his mother had another child, and he was in talking to the little child. And the mother said, What are you asking the child? And he says, I'm asking him if he remembers what God is like, because I'm beginning to forget. You see, at this age, we start to forget where we came from. We start to forget where we came from, but little kids still remember where they came from. They still remember how powerful they are. They have a magnificent imagination, which the world loves to take from them. Don't let the world take your imagination. Learn to use your imagination. It's a muscle. It's a learning process. You can learn it. You can learn it. Nothing is kept from you. Let's go back a moment to that. I think I didn't finish something way back when, about being the only begotten Son and so forth, and that Jesus was put on a pedestal and was made an example of everything. This thing called God never shows favorites. God loves me just as much as he loves Jay. Why? I don't know.
Thanks a lot.
You have to know that. God loves you just as much as anybody else. God does not make a distinction between me and Jay. Doesn't make a distinction. We're one and the same. We're all one and the same. God loves every one of us exactly the same way. But people think, well, if I work harder, if I do this, God will love me. Or God cannot love you any more than God already loves you. That's the same way with people who want to become more spiritual. You're not going to become more spiritual than you are right now. You may learn more, but you're not going to become more. You're as much spirit as you're ever going to be. Now learn to use that instead of seeking it and saying, well, as soon as I get a little bit more spirit, then I think I'll be able to do something. Well, you may come back 100 lifetimes and it's not going to happen. Accept yourself as the wonderful beings that you are now, with all your warts and all those things that your mind says, well, I could have done this better, I could have done. Hindsight is a wonderful thing, but what does it do for you? It usually instills guilt. It usually instills something else in your hindsight, because in hindsight you always say, I could have done better, I could have done. You couldn't have. You see, you did the very best you knew how to do at the time. Now you have more information. So of course you'd have done it differently, but you couldn't have done it differently then, because you didn't have the information. So you must know that you're doing the very best you know how to do. And when you see other people, you have to know they're doing the very best they know how to do from where they are in this point of expanding their consciousness. You see. And then you get a better idea. And when your consciousness changes, you change. But never look back. Remember what happens when you look back? You turn to salt. Remember Lot's wife? She turned around and looked back and became salt. Metaphysically, that means when you look back, you become crystallized. Your thinking becomes crystallized. Because you cannot be looking at the past and live in the present. You see, you can't do that. So you become crystallized. Your thinking becomes crystallized. It just gets stuck. And that's what Lot's wife did. She turned to a pillar of salt. Don't let yourself do that. We must become in our lives the template for the things that we're asking the atoms of reality to form. You see, you have to know that you have power. And you have to know, visualize the atoms out there. You're just rearranging the atoms. All these things that you see that look differently, it's just because atoms are rearranged differently. So when you want something, get that template in your mind of what you want, and then start to arrange the atoms. Now, how do you do that? With your imagination. So start to say, look how powerful I am. I can take this atom, and I can put it here, and I can rearrange it, and I can do this. You see? And then it will do that for you.
Yeah, it does.
Have I ever lied to you? No. Experiments show that the focus of our attention changes reality itself and suggests that we live in an interactive universe.
Mm-hmm.
We live in an interactive universe, and we know that. When the observer starts to observe something, it changes. And the experiments they do with that one is in quantum physics. And if a researcher in quantum physics wants the quirk to become a wave, it will become a wave. If he wants the quirk to become a particle, it will become a particle. So what do you want? Your mind is done with this power. Yeah, mind is all there is, people. There's nothing else but mind. It's always going to boil down to that. You can try anything else you want. It's going to boil down to your mind and what you are thinking and how you are thinking. And that's going to outpicture itself in your world. In your world. So, remember my little saying when somebody comes up to me and says all this horrible stuff about the world and all, I just say to them, oh, thank goodness I don't live in your universe. Don't live in their universe. And that's what you want to do. You want to jump on the bandwagon all the time. With other people. And no, have your own universe. When I go to my little condo, I say, ha, this is my little piece of the universe. And it doesn't matter what other people are doing, this is my universe. And I am in command of my universe. So learn to be in command of your own universe, meaning your thinking. How are you thinking? And always, how are you thinking about yourself? Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. The belief that your life is confined to the material world derives from a very narrow focus of perception, when in fact you exist simultaneously on all planes of action. All planes of action confined to the material world. If you think that it's just a material world, can you see how limited you are? It's more than material world. So this is a wonderful time of year also to see the magic in everything. To see the magic and the miracles of all the little things that are happening around you. It's more than a material world. And you have to know that. Unless you're Madonna. She stays there. But you have to see that and know that, oh, there's something else going on. I tell this story, and I do this all the time. And you can use this. You have to realize that when I'm sitting right here, I happen to know that behind me all kinds of things are happening for me to be able to do this. So I sit in front here, the curtain is closed, but I know behind that curtain there are stagehands, there are lighting men, there are all kinds of things going on to keep me here, you see. And that's what you have to know, that there's always something going on behind you. And that something going on behind you is this universe that's supporting you, that's holding you up, that's giving you your life, that's giving you your breath, that's giving you your ideas, that's giving you your thoughts, that's giving you your prosperity. You have to know that. It's more than a material world. Know that there are wonderful things going on behind the scenes always. Behind the scenes always. You see? We are in this room right now. We have no idea what's going on in the kitchen. In that kitchen, in Rhoda's kitchen, could be filled with people. We don't know that. Know that there's something behind you. Something behind you. If the particles that we're made of can be in simultaneous communication with one another, be in two places at once, and even change the past through choices made in the present, then we can as well. What does that mean? You have to know that the communication with one another, that these particles, these atoms and so forth, all the little things that you can't see that are vibrating are always in communication with each other. If they wouldn't, they'd all be running into each other and be doing all kinds of crazy things. There's communication going on all the time. So there's always something going on. And in this room, not only are we sitting here, this room is filled with which we call air, which I'm going to call God, and now I'm going to call it the mind of God, and now I'm going to say there's tons of ideas floating around back here. You're thinking, I'm talking, you're thinking. There's all kinds of stuff going on out here, isn't there? Now, what else is going through this room right now? Radio waves, television waves, all kinds of waves are going through. All kinds of stuff is going on here. The internet's going through here. All that. You're never alone. There's tons of things. Think of that. And say all these little things. It's an interactive universe. Learn to interact with it. You know. Say, yes, I want that. No, I don't want. Oh, do this for me. Do that for me. Look, little particle. I want you to go and look for this and connect to this and that and the other thing. And it will do that for you. It will do that for you. Our beliefs have the power to change the flow of events in the universe. Literally, to interpret and redirect time, matter, and space, and the events that occur within them. We are creating this world with our thinking. The world will stay as it is as long as we keep thinking the same thoughts. As long as we keep saying to ourselves, history repeats itself, history will keep repeating itself. When we give up that idea and know that we can change this world, that we can make the world the way we want it to be, that we can live, every one of us can be prosperous, that we can get rid of illness and sickness. Illness and sickness does not come from this thing called God. Can anyone here in this room imagine God sick? Can anyone in this room imagine God taking a day off? No. Now, I'm not suggesting that you can't take a day off. What I'm suggesting is when you start to think that you're sick, say to yourself, can God be sick? And aren't I part of God? And isn't that power in as and through me? And isn't that power the only power there is? That power does not know sickness. Therefore, I do not know sickness. 100 years ago, Charles Fillmore was the co-founder of Unity Church. He stood up at a meeting and said, poverty is a sin. Of course, he cleared the room. Because we like to think that the world likes to teach that poor people, if you're poor here, you'll be rewarded in heaven. See, that's a hoax. It's a lie. Don't. That was made by some rich man who wants your money. Don't fall for that thing. Then, in World War I, a woman, I don't remember her name, stood up at a religious science. It wasn't religious science at the time. It was probably divine science. Stood up and said, there is no war in the mind of God. There's no war in the mind of God. If there's war in the mind of God, we'd have chaos. God cannot even conceive war. God cannot think of war. That's why I always get absolutely beside myself when they pray for our side to win. God is on our side. God is on all sides. God does not know war. Don't know war, people. Take it out of your consciousness. Experiments show that the focus of our attention changes reality itself and suggests that we live in an interactive universe. Must have read this, did I? Forget that one. Enter the image. I think I talked about this a long time ago. I had forgotten it also. Think from it. You have to think from the spot where you want to be, not think to it. You see, people want to think to that. You have to be there and think from it. I am already wealthy. I am already healthy. I already have the relationship I want. You think from it, not to it. So you have to enter the image using your imagination. How do I feel? How is that image? It can be different for everyone, but you have to know that. Know that image, you see? The other thing about qualities and so forth, when I tell you that all the qualities of God are intrinsic within you, you have to know that. Now, how do you find those? Take a little hint from William Shakespeare. And William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Just assume that you have it. And you will have it. You see, you don't have to go to school and get a degree, you know. When I mean a degree, to prove that you have virtue, that you have anything, what you have to do is assume that you have it and you will have it. You know, it doesn't take documentation of any type. It takes assuming that you already have it. More am I going over time? No, not too. I'll have you out here by 11:30. More precisely, our emotions tell our brains what we believe and we need, what we believe and what we need in the moment. It's your emotions are telling your brain things, not your thinking. It's your emotions. It's always the feeling. Feelings are the life of the organism. We have the power to arrange the atoms which make up our world. To arrange them and rearrange them any time we want. Please think of how powerful you are. We have been taught our lives that we are weak individuals, that we are human individuals, and the only power there is the power of God. You happen to be the power of God. You have to know that you're powerful. You have to know that you're powerful and that you can do all these things. And here again, when I say you can do all these things, pick something and don't let things overwhelm you. I have more clients than I are always coming. I'm so overwhelmed. I said, well, so am I overwhelmed. And how do I look at that? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. If I looked at the whole thing, I'd never get out of bed. Eat it one piece at a time. That's all. No, you'll get through it. Nothing is being done to you. You are creating everything. You must give up that idea that anything is being done to you. You are creating everything that comes into your life. You must take that responsibility without shame, guilt, or any of the other stuff that may come with that. You are creating. You are creating everything that comes into your life. Once you realize that, you will have freedom. Because now no one is responsible and no one can pull your strings, push your buttons. Only you can do that. You see? We must become in our lives what we choose to experience in our world. We must become in our lives. You must become peaceful. Your mind must become peaceful. That's that whole idea of seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. So seek peace, seek happiness, seek a good feeling and so forth. Get your feelings working, get those thoughts working, and the rest will be added unto you. Instead of treating for money all the time, treat for good feelings, and the money will come to you. All the things that I talk about are byproducts of feeling good about yourself and knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. But you worry about the thing that you want. Don't worry about the thing that you want. Become that thing. Become that thing by thinking good thoughts about yourself. Okay? The distinction between what is real and what is imaginary is not one that can be finely maintained. All existing things are imaginary. All existing things are imaginary. We're imagining all of this. You see, we don't know if we're awake or we don't know if we're asleep. It's that whole idea, am I a butterfly dreaming, I'm a man, or am I a man dreaming I'm a butterfly? See, none of this stuff, these are wonderful little things, and wonderful little things to contemplate and to work on and all. But the thing is, get a good feeling. Start to love yourself. And know that it doesn't matter if you're a man or a butterfly. What matters is how are you feeling? Are you enjoying this life experience? Are you enjoying it thoroughly? That's what counts. You don't think that God created us and threw us down here and said, ha 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 ha, now see what you can do. No. You're here to succeed. And you can succeed. The world around us is a mirror of our beliefs. The world around us, meaning the collective consciousness, but your own personal world is also a reflection of your beliefs, a reflection of how you feel about yourself. And you can see that in everything. Show me somebody like Rhoda who has a neat home, an organized home, and I will show you a mind that is neat and organized. If you ever go to somebody's house and it's complete chaos, try to talk to them. They're chaotic. Yes. Consciousness always outpictures itself. You know, it's like a slip. If it's showing, it shows. Consciousness always shows. What are you thinking? Always will show. Knowing that we must become in our lives the very things that we choose to experience in our world, you have to become what you want to be. If you're looking for a lover, you must become that lover. If you want these qualities in somebody, you must develop those qualities. Why? Because like attracts like. Like always attracts like. There's no other way. That's an immutable law of the universe. So you must become those things. And then they will be attracted to you. Why do I always get this horrible person? Because you're thinking horrible. You know. I say that to clients and never see them again. Well, I think this way you don't pay me a lot to, you know. I mean, is that stupid? Why would you pay somebody to lie to? Oh well. Concrete events of life must first be envisioned as possibilities before they can become a reality. Possibilities. This is what you have to know, especially during this season. You're living in a field of possibilities. That's all there is. So pick the possibility that you want. And don't be afraid to pick. Just pick anything. For goodness sakes, if you don't like it, another possibility is coming down the pike. It's just like if you miss the first bus, another bus is going to come. But people are so afraid to make that decision. Oh, how can I make any decision? Why? Because it's either going to be right or it's going to be wrong. There's very seldom a middle ground. And if it's wrong, you'll know it right away. And you'll say, oops, well, I didn't make that. I'll choose something else. That's all life is choosing and choosing again. Choosing and choosing again. I think that's another tenet of A Course in Miracles. To choose and choose again. And we keep forgetting that. You never have to live with your choices. If you like them, you can live with them. If you don't like them, you don't have to live with them. Just choose again. So during this Advent season, which is a Christian holiday, doesn't have to be. I'm not putting that out there that everyone should do it. I think it's a wonderful time of year. And I think that this teacher, Jesus Christ, is wonderful. And he came to tell us that you can multiply and you can bless and you can prosper. But also we have the Buddha. I had my cousin call me today because I sent his wife a Buddha. And he said, well, tell me about this Bodhi. I said, oh, the Bodhi tree? And he says, yeah, what's it? How does that come in? I said, well, you have to realize that that's where Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree. And he sat under the Bodhi tree and he said to himself, I will have what is mine, or I will sit here till the flesh comes off my bones. What does that mean? I will know that I am God, I will know that I am part of God, or I will sit here until the flesh comes off my bones, till I prove it to myself. So prove it to yourself. Prove that you are a god or a goddess. Prove that you have a creative ability, more so than finding a parking spot. Now, by now, we have to advance past that parking god that people talk about. The same God that gave you the parking space will give you anything. The same power that gave you the parking spot will give you anything. This thing called God is for you, never against you. You live in a supportive universe where that you can have what you want, and you get what you want by changing your thoughts and your feelings about it, by starting to forgive yourself, by loving yourself, by knowing that you're whole and completely perfect, that you're truly worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.